1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, we just had Easter. It's the resurrection chapter.
Yes, sir.
And so I sat back there in the pastor's office a little while this afternoon, and I just got to noticing some words that appear in that chapter over and over. There are 22 references to the words rose, raised, risen, and resurrection.
Amen.
22 times in this one chapter. 19 times it says Christ, Lord, Son,
yeah.
Jesus. 19 times that he's mentioned. That's not counting the 27 times that the word he and his are used. So if you add together he and his and Christ, Lord, and Son, talking about Jesus Christ,
yeah.
That's 46 times in this Amen. One chapter, because it's all about him.
Amen. Amen.
And you know the truth of the matter is, whether it's Israel, Ukraine, Spain, yeah. Romania, right. Mexico,
Amen.
Canada, yeah. It's all about him.
Amen.
People say, what are y'all doing over there in all those countries? To make him known.
Amen.
In whatever way God gives us,
Amen.
It's to make him known.
Amen.
What does it take to accomplish that? This chapter is about Christ. It's about the gospel. He tells you in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. That word declare is not just speaking. It means literally to put on display for observation. For others to see. Paul said, I declare unto you. He said, you want to see the gospel? Watch my life. Baptism is a picture of what happened when we got saved. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. Our Christian life is to be a life of death to self and resurrection power of Christ.
Amen.
Declared, put on display for the whole world to see.
Amen.
That my life is not my own.
Right.
It belongs to Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever happens to me, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Whether it's good things or whether it's bad things.
Amen.
So really my text is verse 31. I'll read verse 30 and 31. And why stand we in jeopardy? Every hour. That word jeopardy means danger. Loss of life. I heard George W. Truett preach on a cassette tape Brother Wood had one time on they hazarded their lives. That's jeopardy. You know when you've got a mission work, we tried to get an orphanage started in Nigeria right before COVID started. And we had a couple ready to go, ready to start taking in children. Then COVID shut down the visas. We couldn't get visas for them to get into Nigeria. Well, at the time we were sorely disappointed, but it wasn't long after that and Ukraine opened because of the war. So we funneled resources towards Ukraine until those 3,000 plus people got sent to Denmark. Then Israel happened and we reshifted our primary focus again. It's like we had this idea and God said, yeah, go ahead and raise money, but I got a better idea. You know, you just got to trust the Lord. God knows what we need, when we need it. And he knows where we need it, even though sometimes we don't know where we need it.
Amen.
But he knows. And he said, we stand, why stand we in jeopardy ever after? Paul, what are you talking about? Paul's ministry was a life of being in danger.
Yes, sir.
Every hour. When we were going to have that orphanage, people would often ask me this question every time I'd talk about Nigeria. They'd say, well, is it safe? And if I was in Houston when they asked me that, I would say, well, is it safe in Houston?
Yeah.
Is it safe in the Shady Acres Baptist Church parking lot? Is it safe? I know that should probably be a concern. I know we probably ought to be wise. We ought to be careful as we can. We ought to make whatever preparations we can. But did you know if you serve the Lord like the Apostle Paul did, trying to get the gospel in all the world, it is not going to be safe everywhere every day? I studied the book of Acts one time just looking for one thing. I went chapter by chapter to see in Paul's life, was this a good day or a bad day? Was he safe or was he in danger? And I mean, I'd have an arrow up, I'd have an arrow down. Sometimes in one chapter, I'd have an up and a down and an up and a down in the same chapter. I mean, he was in danger, out of danger, blessings, problems, amen, people getting saved, a demon-possessed damsel come out of the woodwork, you know. And I mean, it was just up and down and up and down. If you're going to do anything for God, it's not always going to be safe. It's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be, oh, isn't this great? Sometimes it's going to be a pile of rocks on your head. Sometimes it's going to be shipwreck. Sometimes it's going to be heartache. Sometimes it's going to be trouble. Paul said, why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Verse 31, I protest. That means to make a declaration of opposition. He was opposed to this idea of everybody wanting to be safe all the time. I am too. You're not safe when you get in that car and drive home after church tonight.
Right.
You just think you are.
Right.
Yeah. I know several people that have been killed on the way home from church in my 50 years of preaching.
Oh, yeah.
Several of them. So are you going to quit driving a car? No. You're just not going to go to Ukraine or Israel. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Paul, how are we going to get this gospel in all the world? How are we going to declare it with our life? I die daily.
Amen.
Amen. You know we are by nature selfish. I don't care even if you're saved. We want what we want. We like what we like. And we don't like anything that we're not familiar with that's unknown.
Right, Richard.
I was telling the pastor, you know, I got to Birmingham Airport today. I hardly ever rent a car. I bet I hadn't rented a car 5 times in 50 years of preaching. So I'm trying to figure out where do I go. Everybody knows where to get the cars to rent, right? Well, I'm looking around. I'm not seeing any signs. So I finally see in the information booth, and I asked her. She said, yeah, it's just right across the street there. Oh, okay. I go over there, and my wife already paid for it before I got there with her credit card. Hallelujah. And they said, that'll be $295. I said, my wife's already paid for this car. Yeah, we have a record of that here. We see that. But you got to pay a $200 deposit. It'll be returned to you when the car returns. And the $95 is taxes on what you've already paid. Now, wait a minute. $95 tax on $250 car rental? Really? What are all these taxes? And I said, by the way, she reserved me a mid-sized SUV. She said, well, what we have available is a Malibu. I said, so do I get a partial refund? No, it's the same price. Are you getting my point? I don't even remember what my point was. Oh, die daily. Things are not going to go like you want them to go. You're going to, especially if you go to a foreign country. Yeah, they're going to tag stuff on you every time you turn around. We send money over there to Israel. Then you got the exchange. You remember the story about the changers of the money that Jesus drove out of the temple with a whip? I'm telling you, to this day in Israel, they still practice that. You send them $50,000 in American money, you're not going to get $50,000 worth of shekels. You're going to pay an exchange fee. So my wife's in the process of trying to open a bank account in Israel so that we can avoid some of these exchange fees. It's like everything you do, you got to do something else. And you got to do something else. And you got to do something else. But you just got to die to what you think and die to how you feel and just get the gospel out, declare it, whatever it takes.
Amen.
That's what you got to do in your everyday life.
Amen.
Brother Bowen put a track with the tip at the restaurant a while ago. Thank you, Brother Bowen. That gets the job done right there.
Amen.
Amen. If everybody in the church would do that, the word would get out about your church.
Right.
You say, well, I can't remember. That's because you're not in the habit of doing it.
All right.
I die daily. You say, I don't like to do that. I'm uncomfortable with that. It'd be worth it, though, if somebody got saved. Could you give up a little comfort for somebody to hear the gospel and get saved? I die daily. The more you do for God, the more you're going to live that one. You're going to be in situations you don't like. You're going to meet people you don't like. You're going to have to do things you don't like to do. You just die daily and get the job done. For the glory of God, to declare this gospel wherever you go. Die daily. It goes against the way we are to put our human nature down and let the Spirit of God take all that I have and all that I do and be in control of it instead of me being in control of it. Die daily. Death is unpleasant. Good friend of mine, Pastor Phil Dunn, Lighthouse Baptist Church, LaPorte, Texas, died this morning. I got the message on my phone. It came to my phone, I guess, sometimes while I was up in the air flying from Houston to here. When a plane touched down, that's the first thing I saw when I touched down in Birmingham. Preacher Dunn went home to be with the Lord this morning. 65 years old. He got cancer. He wouldn't go to the doctor because he didn't have Medicare because he was only 64. He was waiting until he got 65 to go to the doctor, but in waiting 6 or 8 months to get 65, that cancer ate him alive. If you're not feeling good, you might want to just go to the doctor. You say, well, I don't have the money. Don't let that stop you. Go to the doctor. What are they going to do? Repossess a kidney? Yeah, they're going to harass you when you go to check out of the hospital. But there's a simple solution to that. Just tell them, you know, I'll send you $10 a month from now on.
Amen.
Or $20 a month if you're rich. Or $5 a month if you can't afford 10.
Right.
Think of a number that you think you can do every month. And tell them, this is what I can do. And then they're going to tell you, that's not enough. We got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do. And you just kept saying, $5 a month. You'll get it every month. $10. And did you know legally they cannot sue you for that money as long as you're paying every month?
Right.
no matter what the amount is. So if they run up $1 million bill, who cares? Send them $10 a month and shout the victory. They got you fixed up? Amen. Okay, you're going to owe money the rest of your life. You say, well, I don't like to do business that way. You got to die out of the way you think. You got to die to it every day. You got to die to it all the time. Death's unpleasant. Death is often ignored as if it's something that's very far away. It won't happen to me anytime soon. But you know, I've preached long enough to preach funerals for teenagers, preteens, juniors, and even my own little two-month-old granddaughter. I preached her funeral. They can die at any age. It's often ignored as if it's far away. But we better get busy about this declaring the gospel, because none of us know how long we have, whether it's health and death or whether it's the rapture and the Lord comes. We may be out of time. Did you know in Israel they really do believe this is the beginning of the end of the world? And that's why the Messiah is going to come and straighten all this out? They believe that just like we do. They just don't believe he's the one who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. But they do believe it's the beginning of the end. We tend to dress up death to make it look better. You know, you put them in a casket, put some flowers around, comb their hair, put some makeup on them. Oh, don't they look so good? No. I've never seen anybody look good in a casket. Okay, they can help them. They can keep them from looking really bad. I preached a funeral one time. Guy got several bullets in his head. He had a drug deal that went bad. And it was kind of comical. Not comical. But the funeral home that I had the funeral in had bullet holes in the sign. I thought, how ironic is this? And I go in there to preach this guy's funeral, and the funeral director says, Rev, come to my office. We're going to wait a little while before we start this funeral. I said, well, what's the matter? He said, these drug addicts hadn't come up with the money yet. He said, but I told them, no money, no funeral. He said, so they'll be out there gathering it up, but they'll all be trying to sweat each other out and wait for somebody else to give the money. He said, so it'll take them some time to work through all that. But he said, I know these people. They'll come up with the money. They got it. He said, they just don't want to give up their next drug deal money for a funeral. So I sat in his office for about an hour after it was supposed to have started. He came in there and he said, got the dough, Rev. We're ready to go. I got up there. I walked up there to the casket, you know, and looked at the guy. It was my friend. And, you know, they had just stuffed newspaper in the holes and put makeup over the newspaper. It was the most ridiculous thing you ever saw in your life. It literally looked like a bowling ball with newspaper and makeup. They tried to dress him up, but his face was a mess. And he was one of the, okay, this is not going to make any sense to you, but he died because of a bad drug deal. And yet he was the biggest missions giver in our church. People say, how does Shady Acres Baptist Church give so much to missions? You got to get you some drug dealers saved. I really do believe this guy got saved. He just couldn't give up that easy money. You know, I know some people that might not do drugs, but they got some other practices to make money easier. That it might not be drugs, but it might be lying, deceiving, cheating. Yeah, they're making money. They're being crooked making the money, but they're okay. But that guy there, they'd look down on him as really being bad. I watched him drop 10 $100 bills in the offering plate every Sunday night for a year because he wanted to help missionaries. Don't you wish you had 3 or 4 of them drug dealers? I'm saying they try to dress death up for that funeral, but it's still ugly. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is our enemy. You can't make your enemy look good. I don't care how many flowers you put around. Death changes families. My wife's grandma died, Maudie Wood. When she died, the family never got together again. She was the glue holding the family together. And when Maudie died, the family scattered. Now, my wife tried to pick up that mantle and hold the Wood clan together. She didn't have what Maudie had. Maudie would just tell everybody to be there. And if they didn't show up, the next time they came to her house, she'd be waving a 3-legged milking stool at them saying, "You better be here the next time I call you." You say, "Well, that's not very Christian." Maudie thought it was. She used that 3-legged milking stool on her husband one time because she told him there'd be no booze and no cards in my house. And he invited some of his buddies over for a poker game, and they had a big bottle of whiskey there in the middle of the table, and they were playing poker. And she walked in the house, and when she saw what they were doing, she grabbed that little 3-legged milking stool and started whooping them all. And they hit the door in a run, and they never went back to her house again to play poker or carry an old bottle of whiskey in there. That's old-time stuff right there, ladies. That's old-time stuff. But I'm telling you, it'd still work. Well, I thought I was supposed to be in submission. You are, unless the rascal gets unreasonable. Then you're going to have to get you a stool. Or a skillet. My wife's weapon of choice is a cast iron skillet. Unless it's real serious. Then her weapon of choice is a butcher knife this long. Don't let that gray hair fool you. She can be a tiger. She says, "You got to sleep sometime." Death changes families. Death is certain. It's appointed unto man.
Yes, sir.
Wants to die. That means every one of us. Paul said, "I die daily." He understood that death was unpleasant, but it was the only way to get the job done was to die daily. Paul looked death in the eye and used it for motivation to accomplish more instead of an excuse to do less.
Amen.
God help us do more in less time for the glory of God and the souls of men. In the last 2 years, I've seen God do more through the Shady Acres Baptist Church than in the last 25 years put together. You never know when God will just open the doors and pour out the blessings of heaven. And just next thing you know, you're going to need a new building.
Amen.
You just never know.
Amen.
You just never know. He's conscious of this daily death. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about the sentence of death. It's been passed on all of us. It's the wages of sin. Everybody in here is on death row. You're just waiting for your date. And you don't know when it is. Paul knew that his body was wearing out. Tissues were dying. Energy was diminished. And his mighty heart was slowing down. telling you, my dad told me, I was whining one time, I was in my 50s, I think. Late 50s, I guess. I was whining about something aching and hurting. And he said, He said, you ain't got no problems. He said, 60s are a breeze. He said, the 70s, things start changing a little bit. He said, in the 80s, they start changing fast. He said, I don't know what it's going to be like in the 90s. If they're worse than the 80s, it's going to be pretty rough. Well, he ended up dying at 85 or 86. But he was right. I'm in my 70s now. Yep, things are changing. I'll lay my phone down and spend the next 30 minutes trying to find it. I can't get anything done because I'm always looking for something that I laid down. And if I'm not looking for what I laid down, I'm helping my wife look for what she laid down. We just walk around the house looking for stuff. Usually when I find it now, I've put it in a place that I never put it. Why did I pick this place to lay it down? So let me give you a word of caution. Figure you out a plan now. Lay that phone down in the same place every time. Preferably wherever your charger is. Just put it there. And it'll always be where you can find it. Don't do like me and walk around the house and then lay it down, wash your hands, and get up and go somewhere else and do something. And you're going to spend your old age looking for stuff. His heart was slowing down. The scriptures verify all this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Yes. Talks about your teeth falling out. You can't hear. You get deaf. Old age. Your memory's gone. You can remember what happened 50 years ago. You just can't remember what happened 50 seconds ago. You know, I hate it when they send you a code on your phone to get into some app. If it's four numbers, I got a chance. If it's six numbers, not much of a chance. If it's eight numbers, I just might as well get a piece of paper and write it down because I am not going to remember eight numbers at my age. No. Anybody relate to that? You know what I'm even talking about? How many times have you gone, what was it? I thought I had it. What was that number? And then it times out. Then they got to send you another one. You finally get the number over there and you put it in. It says, this is not the right number. Well, yeah, it's the right number, but it's already expired. You're fooling around putting the wrong number in there. I hate all this electronic stuff. Time is short. The need is great. The workers are few. And the tears of compassion are gone.
Yeah, you're right, Richard.
Christians are just living their lives, doing their thing. And the gospel is not getting declared on a daily basis. And those who are bearing the burdens are overloaded. Because you can't get everybody to get their shoulder under it to help carry the load. Many hands make light work. But if one has to do it all, they're going to work themselves to death. So you got to die daily. Make the effort. Paul was in danger of death every hour. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 14. He had been the hunter in Acts chapter 8, putting people in prison. Now he's the hunted. They want him dead. The people he has a burden for. My desire and prayer to God for Israel, he said, is that they might be saved. But you know who was hunting him and hating him and hounding him in the book of Acts? The Judaizers. Israel. He's willing to give his own soul for theirs. And they're looking for a way to kill him and get rid of him. You want to get that gospel out? You want to declare it in your world, in Alabama? You have to die every day.
Amen.
Paul lived with pain. Prayed 3 times. Remove this thorn. My grace is sufficient for thee. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to live with some pain. Don't let that stop you from declaring the gospel.
Amen.
He even struggled with sin. Romans chapter 7. I think we almost think the Apostle Paul was not even a sinner after he got saved. He was. He struggled with it. What I would, I can't. What I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. I mean, I get so tangled up on those verses, I've never been able to memorize them. I can't quote them, but you know what I'm talking about. You do what you know you shouldn't do, and you don't do what you know you should do. Paul battled it, but you got to die every day and get it right.
Amen.
And you're never going to get old enough that it's not a problem. Young people all think old people don't have any temptations. You know the truth from an old man? It gets harder. You have less self-control when you get old than you had when you were young. The battle gets harder. It don't get easier. You better get that flesh under control now while you're young if you want to have victory. Because if you let that flesh run away from you when you're young, you will have no control when you get old. You can take that or leave it, but I'm right again, whether you believe it or not. He knew that sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So he kept battling it and 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 dying every day to himself, dying every day to his flesh, dying every day to this world, dying every day to all that stuff. And he knew in Romans 6:11 that was the key to victory. Dying to those things. John Bunyan said, in grace abounding, that's his testimony story, "Now death was lovely and beautiful in my sight, for I saw we shall never live indeed till we be gone to the other world." And death's the only way to get there, except for the rapture. And so far, there are not many people been raptured. I guess you could say maybe Elijah. I guess that chariot of fire would be close to a rapture, wouldn't it? Enoch walked with God, and then he was not. So, I mean, there's two types of the rapture. That's about it in the Bible. That's about it. Till you get to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He ascended. I guess that could be similar. Die daily, embrace it, don't fight it.
Amen.
Yield to it. Not I, but Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I say, church, thank God for a good Bible preaching, independent Baptist, King James Bible Church that has a heart and a desire for missionaries and to declare the gospel every day. And all you got to do that is die every day. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd touch somebody's heart tonight. I know this is the cream of the crop, Lord. Wednesday night crowd, they're here because they love the church, they love the Lord, they love their family, and they're thankful for what you've done for them. But Lord, even amongst these, there might be somebody here tonight that says, you know, I've been getting way too selfish. And they might need to bow in this altar and say, Lord, would you forgive me and would you help me die to myself every morning when I wake up and go through the day like a Christian that's dead to the world, the sin, the flesh, and the devil, and alive unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those soldiers in Israel. I pray for those refugees in Ukraine. I pray for that church in Romania, that church in Spain. I pray, Lord, you'd bless them, help them grow, meet their needs. Lord, you know what my wife's praying for. I'm scared to even tell people what she's praying for. But I pray you'd hear and answer her prayer, because she won't spend a dime of it on herself. She just wants to help your people. I pray you'd touch her and bless her. Have your way in this invitation, in this church, and this good pastor has been a friend now to me for quite some time. Been an encouragement, been a blessing. Brother Bowen, see him as I travel around. Brother Daniel Ellis, his son. I pray you bless these folks, Lord. I pray you bless the men's retreat. Speak to hearts, give good fellowship. Change somebody's life for the better. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory, because that's the work we can't do. Have your way in Jesus' name.